this sermon series. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, 6, says, not with eye service. Of course, verse 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and the singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I'll read that again. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now let's go back, if you would, to Isaiah 1. And I want to read verses 11 through 20, which is a passage of scripture that at a time in my life, God used in a mighty way to really change my whole direction of life, really. But I want to start at verse 11 and read down to verse 20 of Isaiah. The Bible says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more, verse 13 says, vain oblations, incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us, verse 18 is one of my favorite verses. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. I pray, Lord, you be with us tonight and these next several Sunday nights as we just focus on living our lives for you. And we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. I thank these folks who have come out on Sunday night. I pray you'd encourage them. I pray you'd help them. I pray you'd help them in their walk with you. I pray you just work the work as only you can. Brother Shorter led us in prayer just a moment ago. We again bring these names up before you. And maybe some that we forget and we forgot to raise our hand for. But God, you know every need. And we pray for these tonight. Pray for our people. Pray for our church. Pray for our country, our community. And Lord, I pray for these folks that have gathered now. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read to you what Paul Chappell writes about these two passages of Scripture. He says this, in each of these cases, people were serving, worshiping, and sacrificing unto the Lord. They were carrying out spiritual duties, but in every case, their motives were amiss, and God was obviously displeased. He asked this question, what drives you, what causes you to wake up every day and live the Christian life or serve in Christian ministry? Are your motives pleasing to Christ? Or are they driven by what drives him? I was reading this and coming across this, and I just want to dwell on this these next Sunday, several Sunday nights. Because it is very important tonight, church, no matter where you're at in your Christian walk, of why you live your life. Why is it that we do what we do? I think you have to ask the question, why? And I think if you don't answer that question, you have what's going on, I think, in our churches a lot of times, and that is people go through the motions. They serve God for various reasons, and not always good reasons. But we want to live for God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the duty. If some of y'all remember a few years ago, I preached a series of messages on man your post of duty. I learned here at Cook's Chapel, even as a younger Christian, to man my post of duty. I needed that, and we do need that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a biblical teaching. But we also have to understand, though, tonight, and we have to get this in these next several Sunday nights, is that it is more than just a duty. Serving God has a motive behind it. In this passage, in particular in Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord had gotten weary. You can read it right there in the text. He said, I don't want you to go through the motions. You think that you're going to do something outwardly that is going to please me, and that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for your heart, as we go back, and I'll read Ephesians chapter 6 again, where the Bible says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. That you really have a living for God, regardless of the circumstances, regardless whether somebody sees it or knows it or understands it themselves, but that you're really, truly living for the Lord. Now, again, I'm not doing away with duty. I'm not saying that there's not a part of that. We'll even talk about this. But we have to ask the questions, why am I living my Christian life? Why do I read my Bible? What is my motive for doing what I do? And there's a lot of different motives and a lot of different things that we're going to look at. Now, tonight's message is entitled this, as we look at this series, Living for God, and that is the glory of God. Now, what a subject that is. The glory of God. And we will look, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Real quickly, will you take your Bibles there? And that will be our text for the message in particular tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're living for God. What are the things? How are we living for God? What are some things? What are those things that motivate us, that cause us to do what we're doing? Now, this will transform the way we do our life. If we are living it for a different motive, you're going to have a different outcome. A lot of people go to church, like young people many times will go because their parents make them, or sometimes if it's popular. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why church attendance is down across America is because we are living in what they call postmodernism. It's not the cool thing anymore. There's too many distractions. There's too many other things. People love things more than they love the things of God. And it's just simple. We see it all the time. That is why. It's because it's not popular. If it becomes cool again, I remember when 9/11 happened, everybody was calling, everybody was checking in, everybody come to church and said, oh, we need God again. But God is more than just going through a hard time. God is more than I got a bad prognosis. We need to live for God regardless of these things. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So we're going to look at these next several nights. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says this, and there's verses like this all through Scripture. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do. How many of y'all know what the word whatsoever means? That means everything, doesn't it? Whatsoever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God. Now we can all fall into it. Many of you on Sunday nights, that's the reason I'm doing this in particular as a Sunday night sermon series. I wouldn't really preach this on Sunday morning, I don't think. Because I think the Sunday night crowd understands what it means to really live their life for the glory of God. And many of you come to church for years and you continually are serving God. What is the motive behind that? Well, the Bible says here that you and I need to do it for the glory of God. We're going to look at several different motives in these next several Sunday nights. We're going to talk about this living for God. And one of the main reasons that we live for God is for His glory. God is telling His people in our text in Isaiah 1 that they're doing it for other reasons, but it's not for His glory. We have churches around us. We have churches in our country that they're having services, but are they for His glory? There are people, many of you know, folks, maybe in your own life at times that you've lived your Christian life, you say, you know, I kind of forgot that this thing is about the Lord. It really is about God. Whether anybody notices it or sees it or not, what we're doing tonight should be for Him. We are living for God. Now, there's byproducts of living for God. You impact your children. You impact the community. There's things that happen because you live for God. But that's not why you do those things. We're going to look at that as we go on. Now, let me give you some thoughts tonight. We won't keep you real long when it comes to the glory of God. What are some things tonight that glorifies God? What are some things that you and I can have in our life that brings glory to the Lord? And there's several things that we see in Scripture that bring glory to God. By the way, do you want your life to bring glory to God? I think it's a fair question to ask even church members. Are we living our lives for the Lord? What glory is God getting? And by the way, it changes your decision making. It changes your behavior. It changes your life. You know what's different in a lot of people's lives is what motivates what they do. If their motivation is fleshly, if their motivation is worldly, and it's not to glorify God, they're going to go down different paths. But if your motivation is the glory of God and really living for God, and by the way, you and I can't judge who's living for God. I'm not here to tell somebody there's somebody who may be living for God you don't even know about. I love studying Christian history and church history, and some of the greatest spiritual leaders, some of the greatest preachers, some of the greatest missionaries, they lived their life to the glory of God, and God got great glory in their lives, and they become famous, I guess you could say, and I don't like to use that word, but they become well known because they really abandoned their life, and they had such traumatic experiences, but they lived their life to God's glory. I submit to you tonight that if you don't live your life for God's glory, nothing much comes out of your life. We have to be very careful with this tonight. Satan has done a masterful job at getting us to think that there's something else out there to live our lives for. And that's why so many people are so miserable. If you live your life for anything but the Lord, if you're trying to satisfy, as one said, there's a God-shaped hole in every man's heart that only God can fill. The same thing can be said in your life. And it doesn't satisfy. We're seeing this everywhere you turn. But what are some things that glorify God tonight? If we're to glorify God, we're to live our lives to glorify Him. My life is not my own. The Bible says I've been bought with a price. Did you know you don't belong to yourself? Your life is not yours. It is not yours to make you. Hey, look, you belong to somebody else. You need to live in that light. And that changes. I hear people talk about this in my tithes and my this and my that. Let me tell you something, friend. It's but by the grace of God you and I have anything that we have. And it changes. What brings glory to God? Well, let me give you some things here real quickly. Spiritual fruit brings glory to God. The Bible says in John 15:8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." The fruit of our lives, the fruit of our lives will be a witness for or against God's glory. Now, I know people say, well, it don't matter how you live, but it sure does matter how you live. I hear people sometimes, well, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. That is not biblical. That's not Christian. You and I are to be salt and to be light. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. I think that's a teaching that we've lost in our churches, that we are representatives of the Most High God. Now, that's not anything in us, but we ought to live our lives submitted to Him. It changes everything about the way you look at life, everything that you do. When you realize you are representing, I remember when the first official job that I had, and I remember going for the interview, and of course they've changed all this now. All this would be different now. But they said, look, you've got to wear these black shoes, you got to wear this hairnet, you got to shave your mustache, you got to wear this polo shirt, and you got to do it every day. If you come in to work, if you don't have it, we're going to send you home. Now, I didn't debate, I didn't have a meeting, I didn't call my mom. They said, you want the job? I said, yes. So I went and I bought the black shoes, I tucked my shirt in, which I always had anyway. And they ended up changing the hairnet rule, and I started cooking for Captain D's. That wasn't a big time job, but I tell you what, it was the first one I had where I had consistent money, and I worked pretty hard, but I did what they told me to do. They made me shave my mustache. Why? Because I represented what they wanted. If I was going to work for them, I had to do that. If you and I were to go get a job tonight for a certain company, let's say UPS, you're not allowed to wear green at UPS. What do you wear at UPS? Brown. Why? Because you're representing them. Federal Express, I think they wear blue and gray with that little orange logo. And they want you to look a certain way and act a certain way. Well, you and I tonight as Christians ought to be bearing fruit in our Christian life as a witness for God's glory. In fact, John 15 says this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I know there's a teaching and even a belief amongst Christians that they can live however they want to live and lay out of church and not do anything and then tell everybody that they're saved and even put it in the obituary that they were a member of a church. But when you read your Bible, you'll see that the Bible tells us that you should be bearing fruit in your life. In fact, it's very strong. It's very convicting in our lives. And one of the things that glorifies God is spiritual fruit. To see some fruit of your life for Christ. And you never know how that fruit's going to be. I had two great encouragements today when I went to go see Brother Burness. And I got a text message today of a young man that just, I can't hardly talk about this. It just blessed me today. And you never know what's happening in somebody's life. You never know what God is doing. You never know what fruit is going to come of what you've done or what you don't even know about. I've been looking at our missionaries and seeing the fruit of these missionaries because of the giving of our church over these many years. I see young men and young women that are being raised up to serve God and serve God in their homes. All these things are fruit of a person's life. Somebody says, why should I come? Why should I tithe? And why should I be faithful? Well, when you do that, there are people that are watching. There are young people. There are families. There are couples. I mean, I've had them say, hey, I want a marriage like that marriage. And they've looked at your marriage. They've looked at your home. Those are spiritual fruits. And I could go on tonight. Let me say second, another thing that glorifies God as far as living for God is good works glorify God. We know that, don't we? The Bible teaches us clearly that good works glorify God. In fact, you remember Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said this. Let your light, anybody remember? So shine before men that they may see your what? Now, when somebody says it don't matter what people think, they've got a problem with this verse. Now, you can't be a slave to another person's opinion. But here we see that they may see your good works. And then it says this. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Did you know when you serve God and you live that type of life, it glorifies God? It brings glory to the Lord. When you live for God, good works. Now, works don't save you. They have no saving merit. But when you are saved, those good works glorify your Heavenly Father. Another thing is that consistent praise glorifies God. Listen to Psalm 22:23. Write that note down if you want to. Psalm 22:23 says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. You and I are made to praise and glorify God. See, God's telling his people in the book of Isaiah, and if you read the book of Isaiah, it talks about the woes against Israel. And you'll see where the Lord is saying, look, you're going through these motions and you have a religiousness. In the New Testament, we could use the verse having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We don't want to have powerless Christian lives. I mean, this thing has to be real. And if it's just going through the motions, friend, it won't last long. If it's not real, if it's not from the heart, it's not going to matter. You don't go to the mission field. You don't stay in church for years and years. Hey, if you don't do it from the heart, it's not going to be. And by the way, even if you do it through ritual or tradition, it's not going to amount to much. But if you'd have a heart that praises God, you want to see God work in your life, hey, it brings honor to God. God's glory ought to be our highest motivation. And I'm going to talk about in a minute what that does and how that manifests itself. Consistent praise. Another thing that glorifies God is generous giving. I know I don't preach much on giving and tithing, but the Bible clearly teaches us. In fact, in 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In fact, giving and worshiping in the scriptures are inseparably linked. If you read your Bible, you'll see that when they give, they brought an offering, they worship God with tithes and offerings. That's a form of worship. That's why Satan, you'll see it in our culture, right here in our area. Every time I go, they're begging for money. That's not true. That's a lie. We worship God. You think God needs my money or your money? Let me ask you something. If you lost every dime you had tonight, would the sun come up tomorrow? Sure it would. Would the ocean still be wet? Sure it would. In fact, what it really discourages is just how good this world will get around and go on and move without me and you in it. It's not our world. It's God. God's in control. So when we do that, if you see it, and by the way, I'm just really tapping the surface of this here. But our giving, and not only financially, but in every way, brings glory to God. It brings glory to God when somebody comes on Sunday night service when they could be doing something else, or if they're not feeling well, they come on anyway. It brings glory to God when somebody says, you know, I'm going to bite my pride and do what it is that God wants me to do. It brings glory to God when we do that. And by the way, you know who knows about that? You know who knows your heart? You know who knows what you give? The Lord. He knows those. He knows. People sometimes don't. People don't understand. I don't understand. But God does. Now, those are a few things that glorifies God. Secondly tonight, when God's glory does motivate us, when we're really living for God's glory, and we're talking about living for God, when God's glory motivates us, I want you to write these things down, and we're going to go home. I'm going to cut this. I don't want to go too long here tonight. I want you to go away feeling good about this. But when God's glory motivates our lives, when we're really living for His glory, not our glory. I mean, there's a lot of reasons people go to church or say they're Christian or even go into ministry. You know, I know young men that go into ministry for a lot of reasons. You know, they may go try to impress somebody. I've had young men come and say they got called to preach because they want to impress some girl. I said, honey, you better make sure because it's got to be bigger than that. That girl will break up with you next week, and here you are and told everybody you're going to be a preacher. I've seen all kinds of stuff. I've seen people come to church for many different reasons, and we'll talk about that later on maybe. But when God's glory motivates you, there's a change. There's something different. That's why this burdens me sometimes as a pastor and as a preacher. Let me give you some things here tonight. Let me give you four things, and then we'll go home. One, when God motivates us, you strive for excellence. When His glory drives us, we dig deeper. When His glory drives us, we're more sincere. We're more serious about it. It's not spare change and spare time, and I might work you in, God. You ever been around somebody, you know that they've not paid attention to what you've said. They really don't care about you, and you're just kind of annoying them. You ever called somebody on the phone? I do this. I always feel this way. I'll call somebody, and I just feel like I'm just bugging them. Let me say something to you tonight. Listen tonight. When you feel that way about God, you're not going to bring glory to His name. God deserves way more than that. The Bible says that in all things, hey, He might have the preeminence in our lives. And I'm not talking about Brother Dallas. I'm not talking about Chris Chapel. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the Lord, that everything that you do, we have it in our school as our theme verse. And whatsoever you do, Colossians 3:23, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. In other words, remember whether, it don't matter whether you're picking up a piece of trash, whether you're vacuuming, whether you're buying something, whatever it is, don't do it as little as you can, but do it as best you can because you're bringing honor and glory to God. You know, we have a country word. I don't know if you've heard this word, jackleg. It irks me when I see somebody do something jackleg for Jesus. That is horrible. It's a horrible testimony. It is horrible not because of us thinking we're better than somebody, but because of who it is. David said when he had the threshing floor, he's going to give it to him. He said, no, I'll buy it at a price. I want to pay for this because I do not want to give to God that which costs me nothing. So I want to bring honor and glory to God because I want to do something excellent. Listen, if the Oakland Raiders have it as their football motto, if colleges have it as their motto on their school, if people have it as the business motto, should you and I not do our very best for a God in heaven that loves us? That ought to motivate how we do things. Everything that we do, we ought to do the very best for God. It is, I believe, borderline satanic when we do things halfway for Jesus. When we do things and we just seem like nonchalant. That's a horrible testimony. I've had God literally convict me. But hey, how are you really doing? I remember I was coaching some boys, and I remember on the basketball team, and I would always ask this question. I said, did you do your very best for the ball team tonight? That was the thing. I said, did you do your, because if you did your very best, then I'm not going to say much to you. You may not have talent. The other guy may have been better than you. But if you did your very best, and you do your very best through life, there's a lot of good things going to happen. If you did your very best. And I had a few boys say, you know what, preacher, to be honest with you, I didn't do my very best. I could have done better. I remember one time I was coming out of PCA's gym. I cut the lights off. And the Holy Spirit kind of, I guess, I impressed upon my heart, are you doing your best for me, son? No, I got under conviction. Am I preaching my best? Am I studying my best? Am I really doing the very best? If you've been around somebody that's excellent in any field, if you really listen to them, what they become addicted to it. They will do the very best. They get up early. They stay up late. They do everything they can. Why? Because they want to be the very best. You and I ought to be that way for Christ. Here's what we do today in modern Christianity. We put everything else in our lives, and we have a wonderful life. And then that Jesus is just kind of the, you remember when you grew up and they had the Walt Disney show on Sunday night? That's all he is now. It's the Walt Disney movie that kind of ends the week. Oh, this is real nice. I used to love it growing up. They had Mutual of Omaha and the Disney movies came on. And man, I'd come home and say, oh, here we go. I knew, then I had to get up and go to school the next day. Oh, here we go again. God is more than that tonight. The Lord is more precious than that tonight. Secondly, we live with integrity. When you and I care about God's glory, we strive for a deep level of authenticity in all of our life, not just the visible aspects. See, it really dawns on you, if you really think about it, that God sees everything. Think about that tonight. Mankind, we get fooled. We think of church, oh man, they're running 1,000, they're running 2,000. Oh man, that preacher, he must be great. He's famous. That church is well known, but God knows those who are not well known. See, God don't look at things. You and I have, we kind of have a Madison Avenue approach. I mean, we all fall into this. But God doesn't work that way. God looks upon the man's heart. God knows, hey, look, we get fooled by outward appearance, but God knows what's on the inside. And there's all kinds of illustrations you could use in practical life. If you've ever read about, like, Audie Murphy, little short fella, hey, couldn't hardly get in the, I think he had to, kind of lie his way in, skim his way in, got in the army, but they got him on the battlefield and he flipped the switch and he was like nobody else. It's unbelievable. I could go on tonight. Military's full of this. People who, you can't measure the inside. Well, God knows the inside. God knows that preacher that's preaching up a hollow somewhere. Nobody knows about him, but he's been faithful to God. Hey, God knows that Christian that nobody knows nor cares, but they read the Bible, they love God, they pray to God. God knows. God keeps an account. God understands. Hey, God sees. Hey, if we live with integrity, it's so important that we do this. And it brings honor and glory to God. We should, whether we're in the ministry or we're not in the ministry, whether you have a Sunday school class or not, living with integrity. Well, this is a big deal. And sincerity. This is a big deal. It's a big deal to me to live with integrity. We have too much Christianity, too many preachers falling into sin, too many Christians that, you know, one week they're saved, another week they're out in ungodliness. We live in a world today, it's hard to tell what you're going to hear next. And part of that is because we don't have an authentic relationship, living for God and walking for God. We're not really living for God if what can happen at a church can cause you to turn your back on it. You're not really living for God if a circumstance arises and say, well, I don't have anything more to do. The first thing that goes in many even Christians' lives, so-called, is that they quit church, or they quit the Bible, or they quit on God. I said, wait a minute. I thought it was real. Hey, if it's real tonight, it ain't going to matter what happens on the outside. I said, well, Lord, whatever happens. I think of that illustration about the Christian life, like being on an airplane. Honey, you ain't getting off that thing alive. We know, we all know we're going to die, right? That plane is planned going into the side of a mountain. Let me say something. If you know the Lord, hey, you're sitting there saying, I know it's coming, but guess what? I don't care what everybody else does. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to have a relationship with Him. And I want to walk with Him and talk with Him. And so we live with some integrity in our life. Because we remember that everything we do brings honor to God or dishonor to Him. Honor to Him or dishonor. Then another thing, and I know this kind of, some people don't like this, but we care about details. We care about details. His glory changes how we handle the insignificance. God's glory will motivate us to attention to details we might dismiss were it only our own name at stake. What's good enough for me may not be good enough for God's glory. There's an insurance company right now. I think it's insurance or some company right now. They're doing these good enough commercials. If y'all, I don't know if y'all have seen those. And they said, well, is that not good enough? It has like a, you know, somebody going into surgery. And, well, I think it's, you wouldn't want somebody to operate on your heart or your brain or your lungs. And they say, well, we think we got that sterile. Well, I think he's operated before. I stayed last night at the Holiday Inn Express, so I'm pretty good. Y'all have any idea what I'm talking about? No, we want people. Hey, you go. You have your baby, your grandbaby. I know we've been praying for Sister Julie Allen that they're expecting another. I think I guess to be a great grandbaby, I guess. And they're concerned and they're praying. I'm going to tell you something. Any procedure done on your child, hey, I want that doctor to be so detail oriented. I want him to notice everything. How are we talking about tonight? I want him to look. I want him to say, hey, man, we caught this and we saw this. I want to go away thinking, man, he did something. We had the best doctor in the whole wide world. Ain't that the way you want to feel? Because that's your child or that's your spouse or that's your, hey, you say, hey, don't you want to hear, hey, let's say that's cancer, that horrible word. Don't you want to hear that doctor say, hey, we got it all. We did that other skin. We went a little bit deeper and we saw what, but we went a little bit deeper. We had to take a little bit longer, but we got it all. And we promise you now. And they give you that assurance. Now, we know it's science or medicine. I understand that. But they care about details. Why? Because that's precious. Hey, listen, did you know if you go get a CDL license to drive a bus, you know what they really harp on the whole time when you get your CDL? It's every little detail on that bus. You don't even know that they even have it on. Now, what is this? They make you do a walk-around inspection. And you got to know everything that works. You got to know how this line goes into here. What is this? You got to be able to, you may not be a mechanic, but you better understand what's on there. Why is that? Because it is riding precious cargo. Right now, our church van is in the shop because there's a squeak on the front left tire. And I can't explain what it is. I'm trying to make sure. You know why? Because when I load up a group of girls and we go down to a ball game, I want to make sure that every detail on that thing is as safe as we can possibly make it. Why? Because it's precious cargo. Y'all with me tonight? Well, let me ask you this. With all that said, shouldn't we care about the details to bring honor and glory to God? I mean, when it comes to the Lord, we ought to have a heart of like, God, I want to bring glory and honor to you. And I believe when these hymn writers sat down and wrote these hymns for the Lord, that's why when you look at them, man, these are wonderful. This is an amazing thing. You know why? Because I think everything about it, they said, Lord, I want to bring honor and glory to you. I want to bring honor and glory to you. I'm going to lift you up. Then let me say this. Another thing, when God's glory motivates us, we become willingly consumed for Christ. Jesus said there was a man in the Bible that was the greatest man that ever lived. He is, I think, on the Mount Rushmore of the Bible because of what Jesus said. His name, of course, we know is who? John the Baptist. No praise higher in Scripture. And we know the Apostle Paul, King David, Moses. I mean, there's some great, wonderful heroes of the faith. But you think of John the Baptist, that Jesus said there was never a man born of a woman like this. And what was his main goal of his life? His number one thing is told us in John chapter 3. What is his creed? What was his motto? What was the thing that absolutely changed everything about John the Baptist? And it changed everything about you. One of my great heroes of the faith was Dr. Kenneth Chapman. I remember going to his office, and this man who was at that time probably 50-some years older than me. I've always got along with the older generation, but I love this man. I really looked up to him. And I thought, what is the secret to this man? Why is he so tough? And we called him the warhorse. He had a plaque over the back of his desk. And I remember it saying, or had a plaque somewhere in that room. I remember him saying, and it said this verse, John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know why John the Baptist would be, why Jesus said that? Hey, he wanted all glory to go to God. You never see John take any glory. Hey, listen, it's not about my glory. It's not about your glory. Hey, I remember, listen, I could tell you so many illustrations tonight. But those who want to live for God and bring glory for God, hey, they are willingly consumed. Those who are willing, by the way, when you get consumed for Christ, it'll make everybody else around you nervous. They don't like it. They'll be talking about everything else. You'll bring up Jesus. Sometimes you're the Christian. That's why you don't fit in at the office or at the family reunion or down at the local corner drugstore or grocery store. That's why many times the Christian kids don't fit in. If you're trying to live for God, everybody might not like you. Might not pat you on the back, but that's all right because I'd rather be willingly consumed for Christ. Be consumed for Christ. I mean, we ought to live our lives. And John made Christ's magnification his life mission. And he was satisfied by its completion. When God's glory becomes our motive, our passion, it is a joy to expend our lives for Christ alone. Christ alone. And, hey, let me tell you something. If you're not living it, it makes you very nervous. If it's just church, if it's just a duty, if it's just but if it's really Christ who is our life, if he is the preeminent one, listen, when you live for God, I'm talking about living for God, devotions are not hard. If you live for God, reading your Bible is not hard. Going to church is not hard. Living a separate life, saying no to your flesh, those things are not burdensome to you. Now, you may have a battle because of your weaknesses, and you may have a battle because of who you are, but it's not hard to you. Why? Because you know the Lord. I fell in love with basketball as a young age, and I never once complained when I got to shoot basketball. I would shoot for hours. I would dribble, and I'd dribble in my room, and I'd hold the ball, and I'd flip the ball, and I'd study everything that I could. And never one time in my whole life have I ever complained about ball. Loved it. Still love it. On the way home tonight, I'll listen to all the scores. I enjoy it. It doesn't bother me at all. I went to a pro football game, and I sat there, and I got all the cups that I could get to take them. Why? I just loved everything about it. It didn't bother me. Didn't inconvenience me. I got there early. I stayed late. They said, hey, sir, you need to get out of the stadium. We're going home. I loved every minute of it. Some of you that love it, hey, it doesn't bother you. You come early, you stay late. Say, man, it's the Lord. It is the Lord. This is His Word. Hey, I think it's wonderful. Everything in it, every time I read, oh, that's my favorite book. No, that's my favorite book. No, that's my favorite one. Oh, I love John the Baptist. Well, no, I love the Apostle Paul. No, I love my. I'm going to tell you something. When you get consumed with it and you live your life for God, that's what we want to see, church growth. We want to see personal growth. We want to see God work in our lives. You need to become where you're just consumed with His glory. In fact, it ought to get to where we are offended, even in our own lives, that we're not bringing glory to God. We ought to confess and say, God, is my life really bringing glory? Is my language, is my attitude, is my decisions, is even my personal life, my private life between me and you, oh God, am I bringing glory to you? Are we as a church bringing glory? Are Baptists bringing glory? Is our ministry bringing glory? Is everything that we're doing bringing glory to you? And everything ought to be measured, not on success that the world says, but on whether it is bringing glory to God. What does God think? You see, God told the nation of Israel in Isaiah 1, that's not what I'm wanting. You're doing all these things. In fact, he says, I've gotten sick of that. I don't want that any longer. And tonight, church, I don't know about you, I've gotten sick. I want to bring glory to God. I said today, I'll just share this with you. And I visited Brother Burness, and man, he was a blessing to me. It's a couple of things he said to me. I got in the elevator, and I'll just be honest with you. And I knew I was preaching this tonight, and I just started. I guess I'm a softy. I'm a pawpaw now. I get soft. I start crying. I said, Lord, what a blessing it is. God, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. I hope this elevator makes it down, but if it don't, you've been so good to me. I want to bring honor to your life, to your name, to who you are. I want to bring honor in my life to you. And then I get convicted of how many times I failed Him. How many times I wish I could have done more. I wish I'd do more. Lord, help me to serve you even better, God. I want that to be our heart, church. I want that to be my heart. And I hope you want that to be your heart. Let's all stand tonight. Lord, I come to you.